Today is house cleaning day. Today is the day that every believer in Jesus Christ who is under the word of God will make a commitment to make some changes so that you don't keep going the way you have been going.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Last week, we heard Pastor Brian Grant begin this message by listing three ways in which we must respond to God's merciful grace in order to have the kind of heart that pleases Him. We pick up that message again this evening as Pastor Grant continues with the biblical prescription for obtaining the clean heart that is useful for the Master's use and the sobering consequences of ignoring God's call upon the natural dirty heart. Here again is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of How to Get a Clean Heart.
What a joy it is that I don't have to allow Satan to kick me around, because the Spirit of God lives in me, and greater is He that is in me, the Spirit of God, than he that is in the world. Listen, God is able, amen, He is able to do for us exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. And this God is willing to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure as we yield ourselves to Him. Amen. Despite your desire to please God, you still find yourself doing wrong. Some Christians don't believe it, as I said before, that they still have a sinful nature. But the Apostle Paul said he did. That's why after salvation, we still struggle. As a result, we need to be very much on guard about covering up sin. You see, the answer to the problem, the solution for the problem, is not to cover up your sin. So when you appear among other Christians, the solution is not to pretend like you are perfect and you got it all figured out. You know, you ought to be walking around very holy. Very holy. I don't got them problems. Sin ain't my problem. Ever since I came to Jesus, I have never sinned one time. If you come and tell us that, we may have to share the gospel with you again. Because any Christian who has that mindset, that since I came to Jesus, I have not sinned again, you better check yourself if you really know what sin is. Amen? We had better check to make sure we really know what sin is. Hallelujah. The question is, what are we going to do? Are we going to cover up the sin? We are all guilty. It happens to all of us. And here's the thing. Some preachers make it seem as if when I sin, Jesus is running after me with a whip. No, don't get me wrong. It grieves His heart. Every time we sin, it grieves His heart. But thank God, He made a provision. Amen? And here's the provision. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me say some stuff I didn't intend to say, but don't lump it all together. Because we have this habit of, we've been sitting all day, it's bedtime. Kids, you're listening to me, teenagers? This is good for you too. So at bedtime, we kneel down and we say, Lord Jesus, you know I've been sinning today. Cleanse me of all my sin I did today. Forget that. That's no confession. That is not confession. Confession is when you say, Lord, you know I watched that thing I shouldn't have watched. Lord, you remember I went on that computer when mommy wasn't here. God, please forgive me for doing that. That thing that I saw. Lord, you know I was speaking to Sister Jones and I was harsh with her.
I roughed her up. She deserved it.
But Lord, I now remember that your word talks about a soft answer. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. And Lord, help me to call Sister Jones tomorrow. Oh, you see, sometimes, you know, true confession is not only telling Jesus about the problem. It's committing to Jesus to solve the mess you did. Am I right about that? Somebody got to say amen. It's not just a prayer. It requires action. So tomorrow I may have to call sister who or brother, somebody who I hurt big time, and say, Lord, I realize what I did was wrong. Would you forgive me? Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. So where are we in this message? Let me try to make sure I am where I want to be. I was still asking you, suppose you went to this fine restaurant and the table is beautifully set with sparkling ornate bone china, but when the waiter turns over the teacup to pour in your coffee, to your surprise, it did happen to me, there's lipstick and coffee stains from the last time the cup was used. You ever had that happen to you? So what do? Do you let them pour it so you can enjoy your fresh cup of coffee? You better believe. I wonder if that's what you did, come and see me so I can give you a special medal afterwards. If I see all the lipstick and the grime in that cup, I ain't drinking from that cup. In fact, I might not even stay in the restaurant because I wonder what else is hiding in the kitchen. All right? I might be gone. So here's the thing I want you to write down. If that's how you feel about that dirty cup, write this down. God is not willing to use a dirty vessel. Are you with me this morning? Young fellas, young ladies, say it with me. God is not what? Willing to use a dirty vessel. So when we sin, instead of trying to cover up the sin, we must quickly confess our sin to God. And of course, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confessing is not always easy, but this is what God wants. Amazingly, King David, the man described by the Bible as a man after God's own heart, covered up his sin. You may remember the story of David and Bathsheba. How many of you remember that story? Ever heard that story? Bathsheba, David was at a position, I'm not going to go into the logistics of the stuff, but suffice it to say, it appears that David saw Bathsheba as she was having her bath, and he was so captivated. He was so captivated. He sent and got Bathsheba, and as you know the story, David, although he knew it was somebody's wife, he had a sexual relationship with her. She got pregnant. And so what did King David, the Bible describes after God's own heart, what did he do? He arranged for this man to be killed. Oh, it does show us that just because we are saved, it doesn't mean drama still doesn't happen inside our heart. My brother and sister, it does show us why that little song is so important. I heard a little song when I was growing up, and I think Brother Robinson sings this one. Jesus, what? Keep me near the cross. Lord Jesus, keep me near the cross. Lord Jesus, don't let me stray, because Lord, I'm prone to wander. There's another song that says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. But may God help us, my brother and sister, that instead of wandering, we may come closer. We may keep near to the cross. Amen. Amen.
May God help us by his Spirit. And so David got himself in all sorts of drama. And sadly, as we read, we realize that despite all that he had done, David continued living business as usual. He continued his worshiping. He continued his kingly duties. He continued to have the respect of the people. It was business like usual. You know, it does tell us that we can seem to be okay. Everybody else may think we may be okay, but it's possible to seem okay and be totally messed up on the inside. So today, my brother and sister, is house cleaning day. Amen? Today is house cleaning day. Today is the day that every believer in Jesus Christ who is under the word of God will make a commitment to make some changes so that you don't keep going the way you have been going. The story of David helps us to realize there are consequences when a Christian is living in sin. So let me share with you two potential consequences of a dirty heart. Here's the first potential consequence of a dirty heart. Right, number one, add this to your notes. We are apt to be judgmental of others when we have a dirty heart. It is an amazing thing. You would think that we would be sympathetic to others, but do you know that many people, when they are in sin, they are very judgmental? Now, please don't. I don't want you to go around trying to think of who that may fit. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished, and grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. A traveler came to the rich man, and the rich man refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But instead, the rich man went and took the poor man's lamb. Can you imagine it? And prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger, the Bible said, David's anger was aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall surely restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping and gave you the house of Israel. And if that had been too little, I would have given you much more. What a God we serve. He will give us much more. We don't have to be, what is the word? Jealous or whatever the word is of somebody else's stuff. God says, I would have given you much more. Sometimes, you know, we're envious of others. But the God who we serve, the cattle on a thousand hills belong to him, and the hills belong to him as well. Amen. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I am glad I know him, and even better, he knows my name. Amen. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do this evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to your wife. And those of us who know the story of David recognize that there's a massive turn in David's life and in the life of his family. And there's nothing but drama in David's family as infighting starts. And a brother kills a sister and people are killing each other. And they're trying to kill David, his own children. Listen, when we decide to take things into our own hands, we have said, God, I'm going to do this on my own. Oh, what it pays to serve Jesus. Amen. How wonderful it is to walk in the steps of the Savior. Thank God Nathan confronted David. There was risk, for he was confronting the king. Here's a verse I don't want you to miss. So I want to put it on the screen. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. We're going to quote it in the New Living Translation. It says this: you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. Is there someone you can help by challenging them? He said, Pastor Brian, are you suggesting that I should really get involved with people? Yes. Sometimes we know a brother or sister is in sin. We know. Sometimes instead of doing something privately, we either do nothing or we tell somebody else. It ain't nobody else's business. If God has made it clear to you, he has told you for a reason. And the reason is to say, Lord, give me the courage to help my brother or my sister. You may save a brother or a sister. Amen? If you act courageously and lovingly. Hey, courageously and lovingly. Don't come with a big stick, but come courageously and lovingly. Here's the final thing I want to share with you today. Two potential consequences of a dirty heart. One, we're apt to be judgmental of others. And here's the final thing. Our fellowship with God will be damaged. Our fellowship with God will be damaged. Psalm 51 describes David's attitude after Nathan confronted him. Look, if you would, please, at Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verses 11 and 12. Psalm 51, 11 and 12. Here's what David is speaking there. He says, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Did you see a little clue in verse number 12 about David? What do you see there? That David's misbehavior had actually impacted his life negatively. His joy was gone. When we live in sin, there are consequences. And David is now telling you, my joy has been gone. And he pleads with God. God, please restore to me the joy of my salvation. We can hear his pain. Then in Psalm 51, verse 8, he says, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Folks, listen good. Some of you are young. Take this advice while you're young. When you decide to walk away from God, there are consequences. And David says, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. God is going to bring challenge into your life if you walk away and don't come back home. Amen. Perhaps right now you're feeling like David. But today, if you're willing to cry to God in repentance, he will restore you just like he restored David. You know, there's some parents. You ever met a parent, heard of a parent whose son did wrong and he kicked him out? Daddy kicked out the son and daddy said, you will never be able to come back here. I'm glad. My God is not like that. When we mess up, he disciplines us. But there's always restoration available. Amen. There's always restoration available. My God, perhaps you're here, young man, older person, young lady. If you have messed up and you're willing to come and ask God to restore you, you're willing to admit to God, God, I have wandered far away from God, but oh God, now I'm coming home. Oh, I'm telling you, just like that prodigal son, as he was coming home, the Bible says that his father saw him a far way off and he ran to get him and he hugged him and kissed him because, my friend, there's joy in the father's house when a straying child, a straying son, a straying daughter comes home. And oh, wished would to God that there might be someone who has been drifting away from God who will come home today. A party will break out in heaven when you come back home. And if you're not sure you're saved, today is your day. Here's a fourth thing to add to your notes. If we're going to have a clean heart, we must seek God's forgiveness and cleansing when? Today. Just imagine, David realized he had messed up, but he waited for over a year until Nathan came to him. I urge you, don't wait. Don't wait. Act now. Young man, older person, young lady, come to Jesus, whether it is for salvation or restoration, you come to him. Let him know I've wandered far away from God. But now I'm coming home. I pray God will give you the courage to do that right now. And Father, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may do a special work in every heart for the person who needs salvation. Bring them to the cross today, we pray. And for the person who needs restoration, I pray they may come to you to be restored, to fellowship again. For Christ's sake, we pray.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that, and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.